Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with week 61 of the Ham Radio Podcast. And we're doing things a little bit different with a test run. We're trying cameras because we see that our podcast rankings are going up a little bit. And we're like, hey, let's be an official podcast.
We made this overlay up. We hope you like it. Big shout out to Kiki Wonka, who's actually the man responsible for all of the art. Looks really cool. And as Maddie said, this is very much a test run. We're using Skype and dodgy internet connections. So if it drops or if it's laggy, we do apologize, but we're trying our best.
Yeah, and we have two special guests with us.
Introduce yourself, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, Nissan's just laying there like he doesn't even give a fuck. He's just like, why are you on my cast?
I want a podcast. No big
deal.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fine. Make yourself comfortable.
It looks like a very comfortable house. Chair.
It's going to be for life.
Alrighty.
What?
Anyway.
So,
if cameras aren't your jam and you like listening on the go, then you can catch us on iTunes and Google Play. Both will be linked down below for whatever mobile device you have. Oh, as always, there's timestamps in the description. I've been slacking on that. I've always had them there, but I haven't been mentioning them because I forgot to add that to my little intro script for a bunch of episodes. But yeah, they're always there. Mm-hmm. So if you guys want to hop to whatever segment you want, you guys can go ahead and do so. And then lastly, the way for you to interact with us, get a chance to come on the podcast perhaps, is answering our question with the hashtag HamRadioTime and tag any of the handles you see on screen. So the question is, after the beta, are you surprised at Doom's relatively positive reviews?
We're talking about this, Maddie.
And so this week, this week, we're going to be talking about basically everything Bethesda. Not a lot of Fallout going on lately. We got Dishonored. We got, obviously, with Doom's launch week, that's going to be kind of the main highlight for this podcast. And we got a little bit of a Prey 2 rumor that we'll be talking about a little bit today. But we'll start off with the Fallout 4. We'll get the quick, tiny little news out of the way. It's a big deal for Bethesda and them, but for the community as a whole, I don't think it's like a huge deal. But NVIDIA is launching a Fallout 4 mod contest. And basically, 20 modders, including get a massive grand prize of $10,000, a custom modded Fallout 4 PC, a engineering support from the developers of NVIDIA. And that's the grand prize. I apologize. And then 20 modders are actually getting prizes. Winners of each of the four categories will get their hands on $5,000, NVIDIA GeForce GTX GPU, and a Bethesda gift bag, which is the Pip-Boy edition, a pop figure, a Fallout 4 bobblehead, a Nuka-Cola hat, a t-shirt, and a Vault Boy mask. And then the last 16 finalists will bring home a GeForce GTX GPU, as well as the gift bag that I just mentioned beforehand. And there's more details on NVIDIA's blog. And basically, the way when you enter for your mod, you have to make it in one of the four categories that they mentioned. So there's status, which is dialogue tweaks, audio add-ins, general patches, UI revamps, utilities, etc. Then there's inventory, which is weapons, weapon adjustments, items, clothing, or others. Then data, which is anything workshop or quest-related, and then map, which is environmental mods such as vegetation, new structures, or locations, weather-related, and similar. So yeah, pretty cool stuff there going on at Bethesda and NVIDIA. Can cash in and make some mods, bro.
Guys, modders aren't allowed to make money. It's the universal rule.
So when's Bethesda got that neck going to start charging?
It's going to happen. Sorry. I'm telling you it's going to happen, but anyway, moving on.
So let's talk a little bit about Doom. Mm-hmm. All right. The reviews are pretty positive. None of us here have beat this game yet. But we got enough hours in to kind of give some first impressions. What are we thinking on this game so far?
So I guess we can touch on the campaign because a lot of us have already, well, some of us have already played and talked about the multiplayer in the beta. The campaign's really, really good. I think people are pleasantly surprised. And the overall opinion or perception of the campaign is that it is good. And it's in particular because of all the guns, of all the mods to those guns, the enemy variations, the level design is awesome. That's one thing.
It is.
It's complex at times, and sometimes you might get frustrated because you don't know where to go or what to do, but overall, it's incredible level design, especially this one bit where you kind of have to like traverse this tower upwards. I'm not going to give too much spoilers, but it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with the campaign because for me personally, like for the first half of 2016, Doom was the game I was looking most forward to. And so as time went on, I got more and more worried about the game just because I was thinking to myself that, you know, how fun and interesting can a campaign be when it's just about killing demons? And I know some people are like, it's Doom. What do you expect? But for me, it's like if you gave some type of underlying mystery, mm-hmm. how this happened and stuff, it would be so much more better. And they did just that. And it's really, really interesting. It's not really about like a campaign driven by its characters and shit.
Yeah.
It's mainly about the action and killing shit. But I really like the mystery and trying to find out what happened on Mars and stuff. And
yeah.
there is to a surprising degree a lot of dedication to the story, I guess you could say, because there's like these the dossier in the game, and
yep.
it's got like these huge written sections that if you really care, you can read about, and it adds more to the universe, and you can see like little visual cues. There's a lot of visual storytelling because your character doesn't talk.
Yeah.
So it's really awesome. I love the intro for this game, man.
Oh, it's great. It gets you right in the action as well. I mean,
it
doesn't fuck around. And touching on the story, I know a lot of people are saying, well, it's Doom. It doesn't really need a story. I think games have developed to the stage where it's nice to have somewhat of a story. And while this isn't like the most innovative or compelling story in the world, it's still something to bring us along in this journey. Very much so, the campaign is about killing demons and oh, actually, I'm not going to spoil it. But yeah, killing all of these enemies, using all of these weapon types, especially with the modifications. I love some of the modifications, and one that I've mentioned in the past is the heavy assault rifle has a tank missile, which is kind of like Iron Man style. And then you've got the chainsaw. It's fucking awesome to use. I'm in love with this game.
Damn. One thing that I don't ever get is, like, in games like this, where it's, like, there's, like, a weapon, and then you get the one special, like, mod or whatever in multiplayer. Mm. But in the single player, there's always, like, a bunch of different attachments. Why do they never bring that in the multiplayer? Because that would, like, bring a lot more.
I think it's a balance issue, to be honest. Like, imagine if... it would be awesome, don't get me wrong, if they could execute it right, because if you don't know, in the campaign, for every weapon, there's two modifications, and then further improvements or effects that you can add to each of those modifications. So
it's relatively in-depth.
Yeah.
What they could do is, like, for multiplayer, because, like, in COD 4, it was like, if you had a grenade launcher, you took away perk 1, so just do that. So it's like, if I want to put the tank missile on the assault rifle, take away my grenade slot.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not bad.
They do take away some of that stuff in multiplayer. It's just the guns.
Yeah.
And you can have all the guns unlocked by, I think, level 16 or 18, something like that.
It's really, really low.
And it kind of sucks, in my opinion, just because the cap is 50.
Sorry, go on, Nissan.
No, I was just saying, like, for me, it's like, I need a lot of guns, or, like, a lot of things I can do with my guns, and, like, putting camos only lasts so long, so, like, it's all I'm worried about.
And Ellie and I have a problem with the shotgun. It doesn't allow you to change the color
of the
handle. Come on, it's important.
It looks classic. It's got the wood stock. It looks cool.
I like it. Okay, I like it, but I don't like that you can't change it. Like, it doesn't match anything else.
It doesn't.
Just literally, like, you have all these weapons, and then you just have the shotgun with, like, this brown, like, wooden panel. It's like, no.
It's another shotgun. So you go.
Yeah, but the other shotgun's shit. I find myself, and this is the one thing I will say. It's probably my fault because I haven't experimented enough with the other weapons, but my go-to is the super shotgun and the lightning gun. I think it's a good combo effect. The rocket launcher I see is also used a lot as well. But I think they're still there are a good number of weapons in this game, but it would have been improved, as Nissan said, with having these additional effects or these additional mods. I mean, if for the heavy assault rifle, for example, having that tank missile, it might be a little bit OP because it's auto-target, so maybe that's why they didn't include it, but it would still add a little bit more depth to the game.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Yeah,
though. Like,
because the campaign has a lot of, it's surprising depth, I think. And then the multiplayer doesn't. It's because I think the issue with the multiplayer is that it has the, what's it called? It has like the guns and stuff you unlock. And then every time you level up, it just gives you, they call it random unlocks. And it just gives you a bunch of like taunts and shit that you can do and new armor pieces. And that's exciting, but that excitement does wear off pretty quickly, in my opinion. And I think it's more fun to be like, ooh, new gun. But when you get all these guns in your first 2 hours, it just relies on the game. You know, how much are you enjoying this game?
Yeah, and it's like as any game can be fun, but it can't last long enough if it's just simple killing. That's why they need, like, I can, like, unlock the attachments for the weapons after I use the weapon line. And like, also, that would make it to where I could use every weapon.
And also as well, and Nissan and Ellie and I were streaming before, and this is not necessarily a, you know, Doom problem. It's more of a community problem. Everyone's playing TDM. No one's trying out the other game modes. And it's kind of frustrating when you're trying to search for them. And maybe it's an Australian issue. I don't know. But
I had issues matchmaking, if you remember.
For PC players are really weird about this. I've noticed they only stick to TDM. Like when I go on like Xbox, for example, I can find people playing like Search and Destroy and Kill Confirmed, Domination, whatever. I come on PC, it's either Team Deathmatch or you don't get to play. And it's like, I don't know why PC players are so focused on that. It's really weird.
Yeah, especially like when I play Call of Duty on PC. Yeah. Like, I switch back and forth Xbox and PC, and I definitely notice that, like, no one plays, like, Domination. No one plays any other thing other than, like, Kill Confirmed or, like, Team Deathmatch or Free For All. Like, that's it. Like, no other, like, proper game modes are being used on PC,
like,
which
don't
is
exist.
Like,
and after,
you find like this one guy in a lobby and you're like, I know, but there's like no one else, and you're like,
because
I remember during my stream when we were playing on launch night, like, that's when there's gonna be a lot of players on, and me and Connor, was before you got on loan, like, we were trying to play like freeze tag and like all these different modes, and like, we were sitting in the lobby for a while, and I know the servers are still warming up and all that stuff, but we were sitting there for a while trying to just wait for players to hop in. Like, we'd get in with like six people, and they'd start a match with like a minimum amount of people, and it was kind of crappy in a sense, because it was like, wow, we basically have to play, like, you know, the objective based modes or whatever, or else we're not playing at all.
And it's annoying.
Yeah, like, we tried to play freeze tag and we got a 1v4.
Was completely unfair. And again, is this a Doom problem? I think it's a community problem. And it's happened, as Nissan says, especially on PC, it happens with a lot of different games, which is why after a while I stopped playing Call of Duty. Because I really like Search and Destroy and Search and Rescue and those kinds of competitive games. When everyone just wants to play TDM and that's the only game mode you can play, it gets so tiresome. And it's obviously the benchmark, or it's like the base mode for most multiplayer FPSs. But after a while, it gets, you know, just boring. And I worry that with Doom, a similar thing might happen, not because of Doom's fault, but just because just generally people want to play TDM all the time and not give anything else a chance. I really like Freeze Tag. Freeze Tag is an awesome concept.
I really like that. The idea of thawing your friends out and stuff, it is intense. Mm. I really like that mode. It's innovative.
It requires a lot of teamwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun. And I think, like you said, it adds like a layer of strategy to a game. I don't know why my webcam's blinking right now. It adds like a layer of strategy to a really like fast-paced game.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it before.
Yeah, like, it's...
I haven't yet.
What was it, Nissan? We said it was like Search and Rescue.
It was Search and Rescue. Yeah, it was closest that's ever seen.
So Search and Rescue is exactly like Search and Destroy, but instead of permanently dying when you get killed, there's a chance you can get revived. And so...
I forgot about that.
It was in like Ghosts or something.
Yeah, and the way that, you know, when I was playing, I'll say clan, sounds so lame, but it was four of us, and we would always go in groups of two, because... you know, one of us could always revive the other, and it's really strategic in that sense. And
what was your clan tag, Lone?
I'm not gonna say it's lame. I'm not gonna say it.
I have a good clan tag story. I'll share mine if you share yours.
Where's your clan? Was it the kangaroos?
No, it wasn't. It's lame. I'm not even gonna mention it.
Was it the weeaboos?
All right, I'll tell mine anyway because you're a pussy.
Fuck off.
My clan tag was CG number 2 D. It was Connor's going to die.
Fucking and, nerds.
And, wow. And the reason it was that is because I don't know why, but me and Ivan were just chilling in an Xbox party with Connor, and we just want to piss him off, so we just started singing like Connor's going to die, and we just kept doing it over and over until he lost his shit, and eventually he muted us in the party, and so we just changed our clan tag to CG2D, and it never went away.
That's awesome.
CG2D. Yeah, so yeah, that's my clan tag story. What's yours?
Not saying it. It's really lame because it started when I was... No, I'm sorry.
Oh my god. Come on. All right. Mine was kill. All right. Like, I was like,
that's so lame.
10. And like, that was like, come on, man. It can't get worse than that.
I was about to say, it can't get, no offense, Nissan, it can't get worse than
that. It was bad. I was that 12. Come on, man. What was yours?
That's as bad as sending like a message to all friends. If you want to join the wreckers. You gotta be.
I remember. I used to get those messages all the time. You know, we're hosting clan tryouts now. You know,
if you want to an invite,
you got to be really good. You got to be 5 prestige.
Five prestige.
I know it's 5th. Relax.
No, I know.
Anyway,
right, so what was your clan tag?
Guys, move on with the fucking topic.
Nope, what was your clan tag?
Come on.
Okay, all right. Fine. The clan tag was long version, so fucking good, and it shortened to SOFG.
That's not that bad at all.
It's lame. It's so lame.
Oh my god, man.
It's fucking nerds. We're all nerds.
Yeah. We're on a video podcast, Loan.
About games.
Exactly. What do you expect from us?
Fucking nerds. Dude. Anyway, what we were talking about next, Doom reviews and how they fucking changed and the community flip-flopped.
What a surprise.
So this is what happened, right? The Doom open beta came out and there was a review page on Steam. It was, out of 12,000 reviews, 37% positive. So the remaining was negative. And a lot of people, some of the complaints I saw were legitimate, and I understood a lot of them when I played the original Doom, because I can definitively say with the original Doom, it's much more fast-paced. It feels more fast-paced. With the way you just like sprint into rooms and that bobbing motion, it feels much faster than what this Doom is now. Mm-hmm. And I know this Doom has different power-ups and whatnot. You can get to move faster. But I understood that. But I still
that berserk power-up where you use your fist.
Oh, it's crazy, dude. Anyway, so yeah, I got some of them, but I still don't understand how this game was so hated. In fact, it was Bethesda's second most hated game on Steam. So it was really, really hated. And then it comes out with the official release, right? And this game has a 93% positivity rating on Steam out of 4,000 reviews and almost 8 user score on Metacritic. Like, better than Fallout 4, right? And I'm just saying... And I made a video about this, and a lot of people saying, well, you know, people played the campaign, and the campaign's really good. But a game that has a really good campaign and a technically shit multiplayer doesn't get that good review scores. I think people jump the gun.
A good example I just thought of, and I know we disagree, Lone. Bioshock 2 is a good example. It's touted as the worst Bioshock game. It's not that good, but yet it's got a good story, but not maybe that good of a multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I think that's bullshit.
It is, like... This is the thing. It's kind of fair, because if you brought up Bioshock 2, it makes me sound like a bit of a hypocrite, because I liked Bioshock 2's story and single player. I was kind of indifferent to the multiplayer. Like, it was okay. But it doesn't make me a hypocrite, because I don't think the game is bad overall, just because of that.
I was going to say, you said you didn't like an aspect of it, but you didn't say that made the whole game shit, is what I was getting at.
Yeah.
We talked about it briefly on Twitter that, for me, it's an issue with gamers in general that they're like, oh, this piece of this game is not to my liking. I'm going to try to represent an entire demographic and say the whole entire thing is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I can't stand that. I can't. It's the worst thing.
The other issue is people, like, the meaning beta has lost. Like, people don't understand what a beta is. Everyone's
That's entirely
like,
true.
Oh, open beta. That must mean the game's done. this is what the game's going to be like. It's like, there's a difference between demo and beta.
And it brings up demos an interesting discussion because the Steam open beta page, you play that open beta. It's a dumbed down version of what the multiplayer is now. It's effectively the same. But what do people do? Do they review the game based entirely on the open beta or with the thought at the back of their mind that this is not the full game? So it's kind of hard to say which way you go, because if you're leaving a review on the open beta page, should that review be about the open beta, or should it be cognizant of there's more to come and this is not the full game? It's tough.
I mean, people don't get that. Like, I'm not defending them hardcore, but I'm just saying people don't get that the beta is designed to help improve the game. So when you put it out there and people decide that the game is absolute dog shit that early, when it's being put out there with flaws so that they can be ironed out for the launch, like, I don't get how people could... I want to say I don't get how people could complain about that, but I don't get how people could go off the handle and make it Bethesda's second worst rated game. Like,
well, like, to be fair, the point of a beta is to give feedback and review and, like, understand what the bugs are and what the issues are.
Just going to say what Maddie made a video about recently. There's a difference between giving constructive criticism and being an asshat. And a lot of people being asshats.
Yeah, that's the issue. It's like, I can guarantee if I go on that review page right now, everyone will be like, oh, it's not enough stuff, or this is too boring.
No, it's funny. Bethesda actually took it down because it was the open beta page. And to be honest, I understand that. If those reviews were about the open beta, why would they apply to the new game when a lot of people like this game? And
steer people the wrong way unintentionally, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, I know people would be like, they're pussies. I'm like, they don't care. That would make them less money. Who gives a fuck?
And I think the thing that surprised me the most is someone's opinion that I respect very highly is Total Biscuit, and he didn't like the multiplayer, and he loved the campaign. But he's not the kind of guy that will say, I don't think he said that as a package, this game is bad or good or whatever, but he gave his opinions with regards to both of them. I just didn't understand how there was such a huge shift from being Bethesda's second most hated game to being loved more than Fallout.
That's very true. I think it's a surprise factor, because I think Wolfenstein's a good example, because Wolfenstein was a game that people were like, Wolfenstein, I'm excited for it, whatever. You know, obviously there was the hardcore, I don't want to say niche, but that fan group who was like, I grew up with this man, it's awesome. But when it came out and they made, like, BJ, this guy who, you know, no one gave a fuck about, like, this memorable, awesome, emotional character, and they told a great story, and now it's, like, one of the most loved games in recent memory, and I think that's part of the reason why with Doom it's so loved, because it surprised people. And that's a big thing with games, is surprises. And, it's interesting, though, with Doom, because they showed, like, the final, like, a glimpse of the final level online on IGN. Like, to me, that was, I still think that was so dumb.
That was weird.
You know, they did a lot of preview streams for the single player. Like, they put a lot out there, but I think a lot of people a lot of people decided with the beta, they're like, okay, I think people are overreacting, but I'm going to wait until reviews start coming out. And when people got the full game, are like, this is actually really good. I think that's why there's this overwhelming support, because people are like, huh, it actually is good. And they try it and they're like, wow, this is. And I think that's part of the reason.
I'll be the one to say it. I think people jumped the gun with the open beta reviews. I think that they judged the game too quickly. I think even though it was an open beta review page, people still should have been aware that this was a beta of one aspect of the game and it was dumbed down. And people shat on Doom as a game as opposed to Doom's open beta. You know what I mean? So they were so critical of it, and then it comes out and it's all good. And to be honest, Maddie, I think a large reason why Bethesda didn't send out early review codes was because of that. I think that was the reason. I do.
Let's talk about that a little bit now. That was the other part of the review discussion. Is just the fact that Bethesda denied review codes. Not denied review codes, because you did end up getting a code.
Yeah.
But it wasn't before launch.
Well, Ellie's been quiet, so we'll get Ellie's opinion on it. What do you think, Ellie?
On the review codes?
Yeah.
I don't, like, officially make content on video, I guess, on YouTube, I guess. So, it doesn't really affect me personally, but I see how it can affect you guys. I know for, when I was waiting for Fallout 4 to come out and I really wanted to make content straight away, I went to the midnight release, I came back and I, installed it straight away and started making videos straight away. So I'd imagine the stress it would have put on you to not get a review code and have to do the exact same thing for thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Mm-hmm. So,
except, you know,
I mean,
Lone was like, hey, I'm going to get it 2 weeks early and not tell anyone and join the podcast for 2 weeks.
I was under NDA. What do you want me to do? Break NDA.
I love giving you shit about it.
Fucking son of a bitch. All right, I'll tell everyone the story because I don't have to be quiet about it now. So what happened was there was...
I'm actually curious to hear this. This is the first time I'm hearing
you're
this.
You're hearing, okay,
so all right. I'm gonna get back in my chair
and this is the first game that I was ever going to receive a view code for. So I wanted to make sure I was acting in the best... Oh, there goes Maddie's camera.
I'm here. I don't know what the fuck's happened to my camera.
Turn off
and on. That's going to come across in the recording. So you better...
That's fine.
You better show your camera, Maddie. There it is.
Hi.
It's loading. I love how this overlay picks up all of that. There it is. All right. So, the first game that I was ever going to get early, and I wanted to act my best, and I was very surprised as to how early these review codes came out. Now, I don't know why I received it so early in comparison to someone like Maddie. Maybe it was because of the different approaches between the Australian Bethesda, or ZeniMax, and the American. But a large reason why I received it early is because the PC review codes didn't come out until the week after. And Bethesda was like, we can still send you an Xbox One code. I'm like, fuck yeah. Or a disc. So that's why I reviewed the game on Xbox One, because I had an entire weekend and a little bit of the next week to play the game, and then I received the PC code as well. So that's what happened. So then when I played the game, I played the Xbox One version all night, and then we recorded a podcast. And I didn't tell Maddie or Noah that I had the game, and we were kind of like talking about it, and I was putting it on like, yeah, I'm so excited, I haven't played. It was pretty funny.
Because I do it as a joke to Lone, but it was brutal because that episode we talked about review copies. I'm like, I don't know if they're going to do it. Lone's like, oh, they will. Trust me, they will. They'd be dumb not to. And I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, he's in the same boat as me. But he's sitting there like, he knows everything.
He's playing it while he's talking on the podcast.
Like, he's just sitting there at it in the corner.
I apologize. But again, I was under NDA, so I was going to respect that. I didn't even tell Maddie in a Twitter DM, which is something, like, we talk about everything, and I didn't do that. So I was really good. Anyway, yeah. But back to Deem's review codes. What do you think, Maddie?
I get it. One reason a lot of my viewers brought up why they may not have done it is because you've seen with the public betas with Fallout 4's DLC, it's no one gives a fuck. They just spoil it all. It's like, it's so stupid.
No one gives
a shit. Hate that. But, you know, with Fallout 4, there was a lot of spoilers. It was so ridiculous. So I think, like, Bethesda's trying to find a balance right now with review codes and really making, like, a list almost on who they can trust when it comes to that stuff. Hmm. For me, though, it's just like, if I'm in Bethesda's shoes, and I know Lone will play devil's advocate when I say this, if I'm in their shoes, I see, like, all right, you know, the beta's not getting good reception, people seem skeptical, let's get this in people's hands early, because they know the game better than all of us. I'd be like, at least from my impression so far, I'd be like, this game's fucking awesome, we know they're gonna like it, we just need to get it in the trusted hands of certain creators so that they can tell people that it's good.
So,
and
yeah,
I don't know. But it's also smart in the sense because now word's traveling by just word of mouth on Twitter how good the game is, and people, it's just trickling in everyone's feeds, and they're like, huh, Doom is good, huh?
Yeah, like, as always, there are arguments on both sides. So what Bethesda said were that we didn't want to send out review codes early because we want people to review the game as a package, so with the campaign and multiplayer. And it wasn't until the launch of the game that the servers were ready and that multiplayer was active. Now, some people would argue that, well, you could have just sent us the single player, but I question how that would have worked, because do we expect them to send a separate code for single player and then a separate split file for the multiplayer and then somehow combine that at the end? Or do you send it the entire package and just have the multiplayer inaccessible so people can play the single player component? So there are arguments on both sides. I think Total Biscuit said that a lot of games actually have multiplayer servers up before the launch, so reviewers or YouTubers or critics or whoever can play it and test it before that. But then I would
say,
how do you expect them to get the full experience if there's no one playing this game and they can't find any games? Like, do you want like reviewers to get together and find a multiplayer lobby? Is that truly representative of what the multiplayer is going to be like at launch? I think it's actually detrimental to the consumer. So again, arguments on both sides.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's like, after playing the beta, playing a bunch of more multiplayer for Doom, I think to myself, like, the multiplayer, I don't want to say it has nothing to do with the campaign, but it has no impact on the campaign. The campaign has no impact on the multiplayer. Like, they're two separate experiences where I think their excuse is kind of bullshit, in my opinion, where I feel like, you know, I felt like I wasn't missing anything from the multiplayer while playing the campaign, where I feel like it's just, I don't know. It seemed like a less confident move, in my opinion. That's what I got from it. And I think, for me personally, a lot of consumers get concerned when they see that kind of thing. So the invested consumers, I mean, who do pay attention to when reviews drop and stuff, because they're like, oh boy, no review codes means that they're trying to hide it so that people will just buy it on launch day on their own without being influenced.
What do you reckon, Nisa?
Yeah.
You know, that triggered
him. Let go.
That reminded me of that.
Flashback.
Here we go. Story time.
No, it's so funny because the two people in this call, Ellie, Nissan, you were both there during this moment.
Yep.
I'm on Ellie streaming. I'm in the Skype call with them talking. And you guys are playing Club Penguin, right?
No, I was playing Club Penguin. Too. God damn it.
Look, all right, we have had Club Penguin streams.
That's right. Weird.
You know whose fault that is?
Fucking nerd.
That's her fault. Your fault.
You're not okay. My laptop died, right? It couldn't handle it.
But
I wanted to stream and it was something about it. And the only thing it could run was like website Flash games.
What about Minecraft?
They wanted to play something altogether. So, you know, like, you know what? No, I couldn't even run Minecraft. So I was like, you know what? Club Penguin. Let's do it. Went up and did my character I've had for like 6 years. I was set.
Who was trying to get me to play Club Penguin? Was it Trex?
Yeah, it was Trex.
Fuck.
That was Trex. Now they're probably on Xbox.
Probably me.
Yeah, but during that stream, I'm sitting there reading like Knights of the Old Republic 3 articles and rumors and stuff, and I spend like 5 minutes reading a full-length article on how there's an HD remaster coming, and it came from a bunch of trusted sources that were cited. I was all hyped reading this, and all of Nissan goes, okay.
I was like, yeah. I went back to play Moffat too. I was like so involved in that team deathmatch game, man.
You know what?
It was fun morning. All right.
Anytime like, Nissan asks me a question, I'm just gonna be okay.
But that's what he did. Yeah, there was just like a 5 second pause, and Nissan's like, okay, like he just didn't know how to do, like what to say right there.
I was like too involved.
I didn't know what to say because I hadn't played the games. So I'm like,
I was like 35 and 12, right? I was going good.
Nice. But to close out the Doom thing, look, I think there are obviously arguments on both sides, and people are going to think what they think. I can't be a hypocrite and say, it's okay that they didn't send out review codes, because I really wanted one. Like, I did want a review code. It helps from my perspective. In terms of me being able to set some time aside, play the game without feeling rushed to actually review it. And the same thing happened with Fly 4. I had 2 weeks to play this game before launch, and I still used the same footage from that fucking play sessions, those play sessions. So I can't be a hypocrite and say, there's no issue with it. It would have helped me.
That's the thing. I didn't want to toss that perspective out there because I don't think many can relate to it. But yeah, it helps in the sense that, you know, when you get the game to review on launch date with everyone else, you feel like you are competing with the fucking world. And I know that YouTube's not really competition, but you definitely want to be one of the – you want to get your review out sooner than later, because there's like a time limit for how much people give a shit about that game before the review doesn't have a huge impact. And also, it does matter when it comes to views as well. You want people to tune into this stuff you're spending a lot of time playing and making. And especially with a review, you got to look at everything in a game. So it's not like you can just kind of willy-nilly make it. So you want to get it out as soon as possible, and it's most effective if you get it out closer to launch. But when it comes to games like Doom, I probably won't have my review out until like Monday or something.
I'm not going to have a review. I don't think it's worth it. The thing I will say is that if you don't get a review right when the embargo lifts, then you're at a complete disadvantage. Even if it's like several hours afterwards, there is like tens if not hundreds of reviews already out there beating you to the punch. You've just lost all of that prioritization in YouTube search rankings. It's gone. I know people like Total Biscuit or Angry Joe could make a review later and still get a bunch of views, but in terms of smaller guys, you need to be the first one out there. But anyway. Yep. Maddie, are you messaging your girlfriend?
I was watching a video that just popped up, actually.
That's why your Skype cam's so shit. Okay, I get it.
No! That's just, I honestly think that's just my webcam, because whenever I use it too much, it's like it overheats and just stops working and
your
it just flickers and shit.
Your webcam overheats, that's the first.
I'm not even kidding.
That's like mine, though. Mine does it too, don't worry. Like my camera gets horrible after using it.
Yeah, like when I use it for more than an hour, it's just like, and flickers.
I don't know what the issue is.
When I stream...
I mean, my Hugh Jackman picture is looking just great right now. Perfect quality.
Yeah, I'd like...
The one with him, like, lying down?
On the couch.
That's perfect. That's brilliant. Picture.
Anyways, Dishonored 2?
How about... Hold on. Before Dishonored 2. Hold that. Ellie, I hope you have all the Dishonored 2 stuff ready. But I want to talk about a much more important and pressing issue than Dishonored 2 right now.
Oh, here we go. What do you want?
Reports say Prey 2 is to be revealed at E3 2016 is under development by Arkane Studios in Austin.
I love how it's just like, we need to talk about something important. Pause up close to the mic.
Prey 2 review.
I mean, are you kidding me? Like, I want this so badly. In fact, I want it so badly in my predictions video. I was like, Prey 2 is going to happen. I don't know who by who, but that game looked too fucking cool to let go. If I'm Bethesda and I look at that game, I'd be kicking myself. I'd be like, why did we cancel that? So I think it's not going to be the same Prey 2 we saw in, I think, 2011 or 12. It's going to be like a whole rebooted project in Arkane's light. But this is not the one who's making Dishonored. They're in France, maybe, right? I think. Ellie? Drowning here?
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep, France.
Good. All right, yeah. So there's two Arkane Studios, and I don't think Austin's ever done anything yet. So they've been working on something, I believe. We just don't know what. I could be wrong on that as well. But yeah, that's a rumor right now. How hyped are we? Are we as hyped as I am right now, or am I alone on this?
I never played Prey.
Yeah,
I've never played Prey either. I've never played it either.
Why
are you so hyped for it then?
It looked so fucking cool.
Oh god.
Have you seen the gameplay video?
I hope. He's
such a Bethesda fanboy, man.
Make fun of you.
Yeah. What the? I hate you.
Okay.
God.
People can now see the hate in your eyes.
Yeah. Go on, Ellie. Handle Dishonored 2.
Ellie, talk about Dishonored 2. Oh. Just take the ball and run with it.
Dishonored 2. Jesus.
As she, right. she so pulls up
gonna,
her manuscript.
What are we going to talk about first? We're going to like, yep,
two pages.
Hey,
like, it's no
I
joke.
I sat there and I made a Google Doc with like.
I swear on my life, I was about to say, I bet Ellie has a Google Doc.
Okay, I have a Google Doc with all the information. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah,
six pages on Dishonored 2. Okay,
and then we've got another one with Emily.
There's more.
Yeah, it's like.
That's like
more.
Two pages. That's like just she has.
I've got like three Google Docs in general.
Yeah, so it's like about eight. She has about 8 or 10 pages that has been compiled of just Dishonored 2.
Right.
Like
Nathan, you have access to this Google Doc.
I have access.
Yeah.
To all the Google Docs.
He watches me work.
Yeah.
Oh my shit.
All right.
Well, just watches the. Like,
that sounded right.
Anyway, so what are we going to like. Talk about
glad someone heard that.
Wait, what did you say?
He said nothing. Okay. Ellie, talk about Dishonored 2.
You know, I will go back and listen to this. I'll hear it. All right.
I'm gonna clue out off this podcast. Gets
I don't fucking say anything bad.
Please. All right.
No.
We've got two main protagonists now. We've got Corvo and we've got Emily. Both. We've got information for them now on their powers. We're going to talk about which one we're going to talk about first, really.
Emily.
There's a lot of new stuff.
Emily.
Emily?
I wish you would say Emily.
Emily? All right.
I'm fucking hyped
to
play as him.
With Emily, she looks cool. Mm-hmm. She honestly, I think she's like, she's really, she's got that dynamic with Corvo. Like, Corvo is more like teleporty, and then she's more like hand, like on the ground. Like, she's got her vine thing instead of blink, so she's like physically moving.
I like how they have different powers in that. What?
Yeah.
See, that's interesting because blink was a good bailout really, like, power.
Yeah.
You'd use it to get out of trouble, but like if you're physically moving,
Emily's like, you're going to be seen. You're going to be seen, Emily, if you go across here.
I wonder,
you know,
if Vine can
she's
be...
like, yeah, whatever.
What's it called? Is it called Vine, or are we just adopting that as a term?
it's Vine, definitely. No, it's Far Reach. Cool. So, yeah, it's short distances. It's like, she's like
targeted. She's trying so hard, but her connection is perfect. It's just not...
It's like a grass.
She's not agreeing.
Her connection's just not...
We can't understand you,
and it's not even that. Like, I know that...
It's hard to watch. I'm just, god.
Maddie's like up close to the camera. She's like, oh my god, this is interesting.
We're trying.
So this is the thing, and this is for audio listeners as well. Whenever like we were trying to do this test for the with the overlay and the cameras, it's connection problems are like times 10 because cameras make things so much more difficult. And I think in the future we might experiment with. For example, Maddie recording on his side, and I'm not going to have my face cam, obviously, so he doesn't need to worry about a drop of connection there. Then he can record his own face cam separately, and then maybe Noah does the same. So we apologize if it hasn't been the most, you know, great quality experience, but we're trying.
That's not enough.
I'm definitely trying. So.
Is that not enough, Maddie? Well, fuck you then.
I'm just being an entitled viewer, you know, standard.
We bought your house. We pay for your food. Anyway.
Do we want to try this Dishonored 2 news again, or...
Do you want me to talk about some of it?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe... I don't know.
Help me.
Well, what do you want me to talk about? Yeah, what do you want me to talk about?
Hasn't there been news recently come out for it?
Oh, you gotta make... You gotta go back and look at the other document.
I love how you guys have the same Google Doc, and Nissan's like, all right, I'll look at this page of the Google Doc, all right? What page is it?
No,
what paragraph?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where I put it.
You guys can hear me, right? Or is it literally that bad?
No,
we can hear it.
It's when you talk for too long.
Yeah, it's like...
Why? I didn't mean it like
it's
that.
I know. Right. It just came across like that. It's
funny. All right. I'm
out. Where's Emily's stuff? I'm looking for it.
Ellie, Maddie says, don't talk for too long.
Stop.
Oh, it was a joke. I apologize.
Where is it?
Smoke in high school, bro.
look
at
Maddie.
I made this so weird.
Maddie, are you messaging your girlfriend? Just tell me right now. It's okay.
When you see my eyes go down, I'm looking at my phone. But I do this every podcast. You've just never seen it.
Well, now people can see you.
All right.
Well, I'm not talking. Now I am. Eye contact. I am.
Hugh Jackman is not impressed.
All right. What? Oh my god, there's 6 pages for Emily's stuff. So that's what, 12 pages in total?
Jesus Christ.
What do you want me to talk about?
I mean, I just wanted to cover like 3 articles that came from Game Informer, Emily. What the hell have you done?
No, there's like.
I do a lot of research.
That's a lot of research.
Oh, yeah, well, in this case, I just ripped the whole article.
If Ellie's not the definitive Dishonored 2 source, then I don't know who will be.
Alright, well, seriously.
Wait, hold
what
on.
Am I...
Maddie, what were these articles?
Yeah.
Alright, I'll grab them right now.
There's one that outlines Corvo.
Well, because I asked Ellie if she had them. She said she did, but connection's not allowing it.
I mean, I can't talk for too long, apparently. No one wants to listen to me.
All right.
I love the banter.
There's Emily's outline, there's Quora's outline, and then there's another one that just like gives an overview or something. Like just general stuff about the game.
I was talking about I was talking alone about this on the stream the other day, and I was just like I forgot about the meme where it was like Lone sitting there as Mr. Burke in Fallout 3, but it was a kangaroo photoshop to his head. It's like excellent.
I'll start saying excellent a lot more in the podcast. I promise.
Okay, let's start off with the fact that Dishonored is going to unsurprisingly have a gameplay reveal on Twitch and YouTube on June 12th, aka during Bethesda's E3 conference. But what's my bold prediction was that they're going to reveal something like big and surprising. I'm not saying this is it, but like something like co-op. And the reason I say that is just because they're revealing so much details and inside information on what's going on with Dishonored 2 through Game Informer and it being like the cover story that I just get this feeling like there's something else there. Not that they're revealing too much. We haven't seen the game before, but I just feel like maybe there'll be a special little thing there. But that's one thing. I have a bunch of Game Informer articles up right now. And they are multi-page stories. No wonder your shit was fucking insanely long.
Yeah.
It's six. And then I add shit to my theories.
But hold on. They got some concept art of Corvo's like outfit and shit. Oh, my.
How good does it look?
Oh,
how good.
It looks younger, honestly.
That looks like, so
he
sick.
He looks fucking good.
Like, yeah. He looks like a younger assassin. I love it. Like 50 now.
This isn't the same same Corvo. He's 15 years older. So how old does that make him now?
54, I think,
right?
54. Cool. All right. Okay. Can we talk about, and this is, it's so funny how this has come up again, the fact that Corvo is going to be voiced now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but it's voiced by the right guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the guy?
Steven Russell. Steven Russell.
I'm so excited. Steven Russell.
Steven Ruffle is such a good
I'm really
actor.
Excited
for those who
I'm so hyped because
oh sorry Ellie. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Steven Russell.
No, it's fine.
I was just saying for those who don't know oh son of a bitch. There's a fucking delay and anytime I start you start.
Alright, Steven Russell he did Nick.
This Nick is hilarious. Where did you get some popcorn? What's... Hold up.
The shopkeeper man from Skyrim.
Let's get Roy.
Trying to tell a story.
This is great. It's such a mishmash. I love this podcast right now. This is excellent. Maddie's just messaging his girlfriend.
He's just off in his own world.
God, I'm allowed to do this, man.
I'm allowed to be on the podcast. It's your podcast. Look at us.
Apparently it is. Apparently it's fine.
The guests than you are, and you're on your phone.
Oh my gosh. I will go on my phone every podcast. Have you guys... Okay, when you see the face cam up, wait till you guys see Noah. He's always like... looking around and shit like... Oh. Like, all right, I don't want to hear it. Because I see Noah 10 times worse. Me, I'm listening to you guys, but I have my eyes off the camera. I'm staring...
looking at Noah's cam is really annoying because... He doesn't face at the camera. He like looks to the side constantly, kind of like what Ellie is doing right now. And
no, because Noah's got his fucking camera over here, so he's like, "Yeah, dude, I know exactly what you're talking about." I'm like,
"Oh,
anyways, we could probably jump straight to the fan questions if you'd like."
Yeah, I mean, does anyone have any favorite news bits or anything to talk about? Because we're all playing Doom this week. That's kind of it, and that's why we talked about it for so long.
Yeah.
Is anyone okay? So, any news bits? All I asked if any news bits, and all I go is, yep.
Well, hold on. Maddie, ask me if I have a news bit.
Do you have a news bit?
No.
No.
Okay. Nisa, you have a news bit.
Oh, what?
Do you have a news bit?
Okay.
What the fuck? That was a yes or no question. Ellie, can you help me out here?
I do have a news bit. I'm just watching.
I got all the fucking Dishonored too.
Sounds like she's just underwater now.
She's gone.
She's like,
it's like X-Men over again. Somebody's like, Mike.
We're jumping to the fan questions, all right?
No, we're not. I have news I want to talk about. Watch Dogs 2 will have a new tone.
What will have a new tone?
Watch Dogs 2.
Who gives a fuck about Watch Dogs 2?
I'm curious.
No one likes Watch Dogs or whatever.
This guy said that in an earnings call that it'll add feature innovative gameplay, although you know it would have been weird to hear him say that it featured desperately hackneyed gameplay. So maybe don't take quite as much from that one. Early signs are pointing to a Watch Dogs sequel that differs from its predecessor, Last week, a leak appeared to confirm a new main character, while its director had previously indicated the studio was taking risks with the new game.
I remember playing the first one, and I was so angry with myself for buying that, because I bought it, like, on, like, release day.
Okay, what was so bad with Watch Dogs? Tell me, because I know it's not light.
Like, first, like, playthrough, I think, or whatever, like, it was good, and it was alright, but, like, there was a point where it was just, like, it was so boring, and, like, I remember, like, I couldn't play it more than once, and, like, after that, I was just, and I tried to play that multiplayer mode or whatever, but it was really bad. It wasn't, like, it was kind of strange, and, like, it was just, they tried to, it was really a gimmicky game, I guess. So, like, the second one, they need to, like...
Was there another issue of the E3 reveal being really cool graphics, and then it was dumbed down?
I was on 360, so I didn't care about any of that.
I was about to say, I played on PS3 at the time, so I didn't care either. Me, personally, I will say this much. I don't go looking for trouble, so I don't go back to E3 2013 or whatever and go, oh, do the graphics pair up? Like, I don't give a fuck. Is the game good on launch? Yes or no? That's what I fucking care about, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was
fun. But, Maddie, IGN needs to do its comparison videos, I mean.
Yeah, they fuel that. Them, GameSpot, everyone, they just fuel that fucking horrible, horrible cycle. I like Dishonored a lot. What the fuck? I like Watch Dogs a lot as well. You can see what's on my mind.
I guess similar color palettes. Right?
Yeah, tell us how you really feel, Maddie.
I like Watch Dogs a lot because I really like the world design of the game. It was very natural, in my opinion. And they had, like, all the, like, the lights and the blockers up in, like, natural areas. Like, it wasn't forced, it felt. Which I don't think was easy to do in the type of world they built.
Yeah.
The story wasn't that good.
Aiden,
whatever his name is, suck balls.
Aiden Pierce.
Or something like
that. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna kill you.
I didn't even play the fucking game and I knew the last name.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, can
you... Yeah, can you send a medal across as well? I feel like I deserve it.
I'll send a fucking middle finger across.
I got a medal for you, hold up.
What?
I got a medal right here, here you go. There's a medal on.
What is that for? What is that for?
Nothing.
What a dick sucking contest.
Now I want to know what that is for.
I'll show you later.
Nothing.
I'll show you later.
Maddie's body language is excellent. Just...
you'll wait. If you ever see me in person alone, it's how I am all the time. I'm very fucking, you know.
And you seem very tall as well, Maddie.
I will tower you.
How many feet are you?
Six. Seven.
Oh, but he's not seven. Fuck off.
Six.
Like six. Like straight six or 6'1" or what?
6'2".
6'2". Jesus Christ, mate.
I'm like 5'7".
So happens that anytime I post a picture that's my thighs and up, dude, you're so tall. I'm like, yeah, I know. I fucking see myself every day. I hate that. I hate you. I don't like when people tell me I'm tall. That's like, wow, you have a face.
I'm going to call you short.
Hey, Ina?
Really?
You're so short.
Fuck, Maddie, you're so tiny. God damn it.
I think me and Ellie... Yeah,
I do have a skinnier frame. I don't say that much.
I think me and Ellie are the tiny people, because I'm assuming Loam's going to be like 9 feet tall or whatever when he sits on the scale.
No, I'm not. I think I am
5'8". I'm going to go 5'8".
I'm whatever 178 centimeters is.
Oh, what is that?
Do the conversions.
I got you. 178 centimeters.
In feet.
You're not that much. You're
5'8". You're 5'8".
Oh, nice, Maddie.
Hold up.
Did I guess?
You guessed it.
He's 5'8". Yeah. Wait, I'm almost as tall as you, Lone.
Yeah.
I never. You can fight me. I got a tail. I got a tail to boot. All right.
I can.
Fuck off.
Let's go.
Are we gonna fight now?
Listen, yeah, no, right now.
Listen, I got Hugh Jackman in my corner. All right. Don't mess with me. I'm just looking at the fan questions now to see what we can get. First of all, there was a really funny one that I saw that I just want to mention now. It was about Noah.
Oh no!
It was funny. Fuck!
You don't write these things down, Lone.
No. I'll find it. I bet you deleted it. Someone asked if Noah's Ark is for sale. But no. All right.
No.
We're just going to jump into the fan
questions.
They're
going to be mainly in your mentions because I don't have many questions tagged to me. I have who's got the biggest dick.
That's okay. We don't have to answer that. It's clearly me. So what? at Leon underscore X8. At Leon underscore X8 asks, who are the top three YouTubers you want to meet or have on the podcast? Now, let's just say you want to meet, because I think that's be interesting. Ellie?
Ellie, if Mr. Maddie plays is not in your answer,
I swear to God. I'm actually, like, I mean, I've already, like, I know he's really, blur in the news right now, but Tobuscus, I've already met Tobuscus. He was, like, one of my, like, biggest, like, people to meet. Definitely Mr. Maddie Plays. You're up there.
That's
you're
such a
cop-out.
Don't
worry.
That's such a fucking cop-out.
I've already met you, Learn. I can't, you were on my
you
list.
Can't say that either. He doesn't count.
Why?
Are we just doing like gaming, you know, related channels?
Any channel.
I don't know if anyone's watched CTFXC vlogging. They do everyday vlogs.
Nope.
Charles Trippy. That is Charles my number Trippy. One YouTuber. Yeah, I've watched him since day one.
I remember you talking about him.
Yeah, like seven years. Like, that's the person I want to meet for sure.
It's scary.
Shut up.
this is kind of a cop out as well, but the entire Funhouse crew, I really want to meet them, and I'm so annoyed that Joel left Funhouse.
Yeah,
and that Spool
Joel
left
and
Funhouse.
Spool.
It's yeah, depressing, but I would love to, you know, meet Lawrence, all the others, Adam, Bruce, and James, and also what's her name again?
Elise.
Thank you. Sorry, I had a mind blank. Elise. In terms of other YouTubers, I've always wanted to meet Boogie. I think he's a pretty cool dude. Yeah. And lastly, maybe Total Biscuit. And of course, Maddie.
Again, you can't pick the people on the podcast.
Sure I can. Maddie, what?
You know who I want to... You do YouTube, don't you, Lisa?
One
that
day...
You do, huh?
No, because I'm not here! That counts.
Oh. Okay. Alright, fine.
One day, Maddie and I are going to burn.
Alright, you know, whatever. I'm going to drop off. Alright.
Lisa, go.
Alright. I'd pick Owl, Gopher, and maybe How to Basic.
Maddie, he didn't choose us. I think we should be very offended right now.
Yeah. What the fuck is your problem, dude?
You want to go?
You want to go? Go where?
You want to go?
Just.
You want to go?
Maddie?
Oh, fine.
See, for me, I've met a lot of my YouTube friends so far. Because I met the Gamers Joint. I met Al. I met George. Like, these are people who I did want to meet for a while, and I did. I met the Black Okage. I love him. He's cool as shit. So I'm going down my subscriptions right now. I'd want to meet Jeremy of How To Hockey. I don't know.
As if you
wouldn't
want to make Kinda Funny Games.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, I could have met them, but they. I'm not trashing them when I say this, but because they meet so many viewers, I wouldn't blame them if this were it. But like when I passed them at PAX, and I was gonna, me and my friends were gonna go say what's up to them, introduce ourselves. But I was just like, you know, like they just seem like they're just chilling right now. Yeah, like they seem kind of checked out for a little bit there, and I don't blame them. Like I said, they get stopped all the fucking time. But yeah, so for me, I wouldn't say if I'd put them on the list of people I'm like I want to meet. I'd say I want to meet Jeremy of How To Hockey. He's like he runs a channel, and he kind of like when I started playing hockey. Ice hockey, he like makes a lot of tutorial videos, and that's how I kind of started teaching myself a lot. So I'd like to meet him. I'm trying to go down my list here. Obviously, Lone. That's an obvious one.
Yes.
Yeah, Lone's number one on that list.
See, Nissan, Maddie actually mentions my name.
Cop outs, all y'all.
All y'all, he says.
I've met everyone.
I wanna meet Robbie of Open World Games. I like Robbie a lot. Yeah. He's awesome. So I put him there too.
His accent's excellent. I love it.
Yeah. Maybe Pro Jared or Angry Joe if you want to toss in a fourth.
Mm.
Yeah, I like them. That's me though.
Some of these questions.
You wanna meet PewDiePie? Pewds?
I would love to meet Pewds actually.
Is he your favorite YouTuber? He would be.
Pooch is a cool dude. He looks like a cool dude. Here's a funny question, and it's just, I just want to mention it because it's funny. At Brandon Bennett asks, if you had to eat another cast member, who would you eat and what part? Note, I'd eat Lone's ass.
That's nasty as fuck. You don't promote these things.
No, Brandon's cool. Bye. He's cool. Okay, he makes
some of the best memes for us.
He does, though, you know what I mean?
The Uncharted 4 review one where it was like excellent and near perfect.
Maddie, these are the questions that I like, all right? At Isaiah XCIX, that's a mouthful, asks, what is the best way to stay motivated?
Have someone else motivate you.
Maddie's just like, I am motivated, so... Yeah,
that's not,
like, yeah, if you have, like, someone there to help you, that's the best way. Like, find, like, someone, like, a close friend or something to help you. Because, like, you yourself,
be involved.
Yeah, like, just have other people there. Like, have other people tell you that keep going.
Maddie, Nissan, and I are in a, like, a little group chat thing, and to be honest, like, it's more than just banter to me. I think it's, I love, like, telling you guys, like, what I'm doing and stuff like that, and having you guys actually support it and give me your feedback and stuff like that. Like, having people actually care about what you do is probably the most fueling thing, having someone who's there saying you can do it, you know, is honestly, and yeah, I do have to, you, sir, okay,
that's so fucking adorable.
Everyone,
I'm just gonna go vomit
okay
now.
You guys are all like,
oh, that's adorable.
And another aspect that I think is important to stay motivated as well, and obviously on top of having people around you that can help you, is always try and think of the end goal. So for example, if you're trying to diet, and this Ellie, this literally came up last night with me. I was like, all right, I have pizza in the fridge that I could easily eat and not put the effort in to cook my own food. But I always try and think, how am I going to feel after I eat this pizza? How am I going to feel after I don't exercise? And it's always, I'm going to feel shit. So I try and use that as motivation to do better. So to exercise, to eat well. And even if it's at work, how shit am I going to feel if I procrastinate for another 30 minutes? And then that feeling, knowing how shit I'll feel, pushes me to actually get the shit done.
For me, I'm personally, I'm more of a self-motivated guy. You know, not to say that other people don't motivate me, but for me, I get up and do things kind of on my own. I'll say this much, though. I'm not trying to gush or anything or be annoying about it, but it definitely helps when you have a love interest. Because they definitely get you off your ass and make you want to be a better person for them. Not to say that you don't want to be a better person for your friends, but, like, if you're really crazy into someone, you're like for me, I really started going to the gym more because of the girl I was dating. Because I was like, you know what? I really want to start. I have, like, a decent body, but I want to look really good. And so that I don't know. It sounds cheesy and tacky, but it's true. That does help a lot. But for me, at the end of the day, it really, I think, falls on your shoulders to get up, put your 2 feet on the ground and do whatever the fuck you have to do. Sometimes that's not easy, though. So that's why you have your friends. That's why you have your potential girlfriend or boyfriend. That's why you have other sources. But I think when you channel it yourself, like Lone said, you know, where you think of the end goal or whatever, you find it in yourself somehow, it's much more rewarding and you find yourself motivating yourself easier as time goes on.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of having a partner, that does help. And there's a lot of occasions where I'm just, you know, talking to my girlfriend about something, saying, well, I don't know if I should do this or do that. And just being able to have someone there to support you, it is a huge motivator. And especially up for me, for example, after being single for 4 or 5 years, it's so nice to be able to have someone there that says, well, you can do that. Why not? Like when I got my new job, I was not only leaving my current job, but I was moving cities, and a big motivator for me moving was my girlfriend, because everyone else was unanimously saying, you shouldn't do this. I had my boss at my old job that literally, like, we had a few conversations that I wanted to leave, and then he sits down me and he says, I think you're making a mistake. And I'm just like, holy shit, like, this, everyone is against me, and probably one of the people that was with me was my girlfriend. And help me through that. So, I definitely agree.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds tacky because, you know, it always sounds like the option that can just disappear like that. Because you think, like, friends forever, but you don't know about the woman and all that shit. Hmm. But if you really have, like, a special connection and stuff and you really trust in each other, then it's definitely a good source of motivation. And obviously there's more to it than just, oh, I'm going to use her for motivation. But,
yeah,
you know, it's one of those things that comes if you really genuinely care about the person.
Hmm. All right, another question at Jacob B. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that. Jacob Bizier. Okay. What kind of music do you listen to?
Passion Pit. Yes. They are so fucking.
Oh bad. My god, you and Passion Pit.
Yeah.
Wait. Who?
Every time I ask for a
Passion Pit, ASAP Rocky, Wiz Khalifa. Okay.
Yeah, oh my god. Like Wiz. I like Wiz Khalifa.
Kill yourselves.
I didn't expect
that. Wow, Nissan.
Passion Pit to like Wiz Khalifa, like what?
Yeah. If you look at if there's a way to go on Pandora and listen to or look at like the songs I've listened to, like it just sounds like I'm a total stoner. I listen to a lot of stoner music. Kid Cudi, I love him too. I'm not a stoner, but they're all so good.
Yeah,
I love them.
For me, I'm a big fan of R&B and some kind of hip hop, so I love like Trey Songz, Chris Brown, Ty Dolla $ign, those kinds of guys. Awesome.
I'll say this much, actually. I like everything but country.
But country is really popular in the States, isn't it?
It is.
It is, yeah, and it makes me sick.
I don't know. See, that was one of those... All right, I'm like I said, I don't mean to like keep going on about it, but like, have you ever... Okay, you meet someone that you're really into, and do you like ever have one of those moments where you like connect on something, and you're like, oh my god? Kind of things.
Yeah.
I was talking to my girlfriend the other day, and I was just like, you know, we were talking about music and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I basically like anything but country. She's like, I hate country. I just looked her in the eyes. I'm like,
oh my god, me too. We should totally date and so do
good.
Things.
I was hoping that you were going to say, like, she loves country, but that's good. That works.
That would be some funny shit.
She was like, I hate country. And I was like, I hate it too.
Oh my god.
It's funny that you bond with people over the things you hate more than the things that you like. I've noticed that, like, with everyone. Like, when you find something you both hate with someone, it's like, for some reason, it's a lot. Like,
it's like when you sit down with someone.
We share so much that we love in common. That's the thing, though, is that, like, it's sickening. It's sickening how long the list is on how relatable we are. But like, yeah, there are things we don't like too. It's insane.
The best thing is when you sit down with someone and you agree on someone you hate that you both hate. That is the best feeling. Like, yeah, I think he's a cunt too. Let's bash him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, exactly. Like,
Nissan, what about you? What music?
I
listen to the Counter Strike Go soundtrack. Yeah. He's not answering the question, damn it.
He's so triggered. Goddamn. What's wrong with you, Lone? Look what you've done.
I've been listening to Shinedown a lot. I guess they're like a
what genre are they?
I don't know. I don't know genres of music. I just listen to music. I honestly don't know. But like, I don't know. This is that band.
Fair enough.
It's like a chilly.
Yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. They're kind of like, they're not like, Matt's like, Khalifa over here.
Wiz Khalifa is great. Wiz Khalifa and Ty Dolla $ign, they do so many collabs together. Oh, man. Love it. What about you, Ellie?
I'm really crazy with my music. Like, I'm all over the place. Definitely I really love rock. AC/DC and Guns N' Roses are like my...
There's always AC/DC. Like, every time.
Akadaka. I went to the concert last year. It was amazing. It was probably the best concert I've been to. Mm-hmm. So like a bunch of rock, but I listen to everything. Like, I listen to that R&B stuff that Lone listens to. I listen I listen to Nightcore. I listen to like the emo bands. Like I listen to everything. I'll sit there. Like, I have different genre playlists, and whatever I'm feeling, I'll play it. And then fucking Nissan has to sit there and deal with it. Like, I'll be sitting there singing Nightcore. Like, I literally don't give a fuck. If it's music, I'll probably sing it and love it.
All right. Last question from at Austin Horrigan from the Shoddy Cast. He's actually at AR Horrigan. What is your least favorite accent? I would love to hear your answers on this one.
Oh, that's a good ass question. I hope Austin's doing well. I love you, Austin. I hate Australia.
Well, you know what? I don't like Australian accents.
You know, it was funny. Ellie and I and Nathan were talking about this the other day. It's weird when I hear an Australian accent in a movie. I think it sounds wrong. It just doesn't sound right. Yeah, I'll say it. I don't like the Australian accent because I hear it all the time. It's fucking annoying.
I agree. Yeah. And especially the, like, over-dramatic Australian accent that you hear in, like, films. When they just go overboard. Like, that really Aussie, like, I just can't.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when an American tries to do an Australian accent.
Yeah, I jumped over the cliffs and there we go. Fish in the water and I just like
fuck yeah. Mate, I'm gonna grab my timbuck and go down to the water hole. Nah, like, shut up.
Down the
I'm gonna shrimp on the
what
barbie
the fuck?
Fucking hell.
Prawn. You're an Aussie, you got that wrong.
I said that intentionally. What? I know it's prawn, alright? Don't trigger me. Do not trigger me.
Oh. You're triggering me.
All right. Thinking of like,
what about you guys?
I'm awful with accents. You know, some of them are so thick I can't understand them. But the worst for me, I think I told this story on how when I was at PAX East, like I couldn't. I was talking to some PR guy, and like he had the thickest, fucking just unreal thick UK accent, and I couldn't understand him.
Was it like we were Cockney, or like what was it?
Oh, dude, and a nice guy, don't get me wrong, but I hate that accent just because of that moment right there. I have I told this story before? If not, you guys are in for a good story.
I haven't heard it.
Okay. Oh boy, because Al and George teased me about it all fucking weekend after that moment. So when you're on the media list for PAX, you get to I told this story on stream. That's where I told it. So this might be a repeat for some listeners. But when you're on the media list for PAX, you get emails on people wanting to check out your games and stuff. And so I got an email from this guy, Nick. He's like, hey, you want to check out this game? I was like, this looks interesting. So we set up an appointment. Everything was like Friday at 5. I went to check out the game. And he came up and he started talking. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, no, he's got such a fucking heavy accent. I'm so fucked. I'm loud at PAX. I'm tired at this point, and I'm just bad with accents in general. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, fuck, I'm going to have to try to bullshit so hard here. But I'm going to try really hard to zone in and listen to him. So, like, Connor and Ivan are with me, and the one time they just sit back and let me take the conversation, I fucking destroy it in a bad way.
What did you do, Maddie? Fuck.
He comes up. He's like, oh, hey, what's going on? I'm Nick. Nice to meet you. I'm like, hey, I'm Matt and all that stuff. And he's like, you guys here to check out the game? I was like, yeah. And this isn't exactly how the conversation went, but there were just two highlight moments that were inexplicably bad. So bad that he just gave us the controller at the end of it and walked away. That's how bad it was.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even see him act.
No.
He didn't even say goodbye to me. That bad.
No.
Because, like, he asked
me... Did you, like, insult his mom or something? Fucking hell.
He took it personally, though. He asked me, like, what talent I was with, which is a question I've never been asked before. Like, what talent are you with? I was like, what the... But
as
when
in,
he
like,
said
curse?
It, yeah, I guess that's what he meant. Or, like, I guess he was asking, like, what were we representing? Which okay. I'm myself, so, like, me, I'm not representing a talent. Like, I am, quote, the talent.
Yeah.
You know? So I've never been asked that question. So when he comes up and he says in this heavy fucking accent, what talent you with? All I hear is all I hear is Italian, like that. And I'm like, did he ask if I was fucking Italian? And like, I look at him and I'm like, nah, people think I'm Irish because of my hair and stuff. I'm actually Italian.
Did you actually say that?
I'm like, people think I'm you know, Irish and everything. But I'm Italian. He's like, he looked at my friends and me. They looked at me and they're like, dude, what the fuck? I'm like, he's like, I asked what talent you're with. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. You know, like I played it off like, okay, that was a bad fuck up of like,
fuck,
we'll just forget about it kind of moment.
Fuck, Matthew Schroeder. God damn it.
No.
I was like, yeah, I'm Mr. Matty Plays. You know, we emailed a little bit. He's like, all right, cool. Fuck, what did he say next, dude?
There's another fuck up.
There is, yeah. There's another one that really just put the icing on the cake. Then he asked, once again, I think a part of the issue was he was speaking really fast, too. So he went to ask, go, and go, like, you checking out the game? And all I heard was like, "You having a good day?" And I'm just like, "Oh!" I put my hands on my head. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm having a pretty good day," like that. And he's just like, "All right, let's go play the game." And he's just like, I'm just like,
Christ.
Like literally, he walks away. I like, I'm holding the controller. I just slowly turn like a Connor and Ivan. I'm like, "I fucked up." So bad. And
no.
They're like, "What did you hear?" I'm like, they're like, "You look like an idiot." Like, I was just like, "I know. I fucked that so bad."
Oh, that's no. So funny.
It so the whole hilarious. Weekend, anytime it was a good opportunity, George or Al would be like, "Yeah, I'm Italian," or "Yeah, I'm having a
great time." Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. Fuck. What about you, Nisan? What accents do you
have? Similar to what you were saying with your Australian accent, it's like a typical, like stereotypical white Valley girl accent. And Ellie, you
I can do this really
time,
well.
I want to cry.
Like, is that like this one? Is this the one that I'm doing right now?
Oh my god, how are you?
Makes me cry.
Oh no, Maddie, he's
like,
gone.
Like when she does it sometimes, I want to kill myself because it's like it's so spot on. It's scary. I'm like, no.
So
please.
Like, where do you guys like hang out? Do you go to the mall? Is that where you guys go?
Oh my god, can we go to the mall? Let's buy some clothes.
It's like what do you guys do at the mall? Like, do you shop or do you sit around look at shops? Like, oh, I wish I was going in there, but I'm not.
We got cheerleading practice later.
Oh yeah, we got cheerleading in like a couple hours. So like,
hi Maddie, how you going?
Why are you on your phone, Maddie G? I wonder why.
What are you doing?
this is great for the visual listeners. Visual listeners, what the fuck?
I have a message from Connor that says, "You suck massive kangaroo balls and fuck yourself." Why did you message that?
Jesus Christ, that's unnecessarily mean.
No, we talk to each other like that all the time. Like, all right, here we go. Hold on, I'll read you some of our recent texts.
That's not good.
What do you do? Okay, I'll read a line of text from Connor. Not what I said, but a line of text from Connor. "What are you doing, dick fart? I fucking hate you. You said it was his birthday today. You fucking suck. I hope you get punched in the face. You were the worst. I fucking hate you. Die. I can't believe you're such a savage. God fucking damn it. What the fuck? Fuck that shit."
Holy shit.
The fuck's wrong with you?
The fuck, ditching the podcast I can't ever go on. What a weeb. He was talking about Noah there. Yeah.
Christ. Alrighty, we can end the podcast there. That's fucking... Like, we engage in banter, Maddie, but that's just... That's another level.
Was that five viewer questions?
I don't know if it was five.
It reminds me of a funny story, though. Last night, when I got home at, like, 1 a.m., yeah. I wanted to get food, so Connor picked me up, and he calculated the money I needed to spend for E3, and I had to pay him back. And so we go to my ATM, we start taking the money out and stuff, and, like, his wallet's, like, full of fucking cash. And you know how you have, like, in the car, you'll have, like, the radio? And then you'll have that little space beneath the radio where you're, like, store stuff? And yeah. Connor's, like, fucking being a cocky douche with the cat, like, the wallet full of money. He's like, "My wallet's so full of money. I can't fit it in the space here." I'm, like, looking at him, like, "You're a fucking scumbag." And all of a sudden, he fucking puts his wallet in. It gets, like, into the actual slot, and he pulls, and it yanks the fucking car radio and all his vents out, God. And it, like, yanks everything out into his lap, and it's just sitting there. He's like, "What the fuck, Matt? And then he's like, "Bucking."
No.
He's like, "Matt, you're fucking helping me."
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
so
God.
Good. Oh, man.
I started fucking crying. It was so funny because it's just, you yanked out the whole fucking radio. He was just complaining on how he spent like $1,000 for E3 that he didn't have, and he's like, he thought he had to replace his whole console area for his car.
That's great.
It's so funny.
Anyway,
Matt,
you want to wrap it up?
Don't we usually let the guests wrap it up?
Yeah. Nisan and Ellie, you know, you guys are all adorable and shit, so you can end the podcast together.
Why do you have a pink bottle, Nisan, but you got like apple juice?
Green tea!
No, hold on. Okay. Let me impersonate Nisan's ending of the podcast.
Okay. Wait, was that the reaction?
You fucking nerds. I hate every single one of you. I want to punch you in the throat. fucking nerds.
Right here, I'm right here.
At least it's not my face.
You know what, Maddie? Yeah, Maddie, whenever I do meet you, you're going to be standing there on like a sidewalk, and I'm going to run and clock you in the jaw with my fucking elbow and break your fucking
jump.
Jaw.
You have to jump to reach him, love.
I'll fucking soar through the sky. Phenomenal elbow, that cunt in the head.
God. He'll jump off of his top rope.
My
jump
God, he killed him.
Somebody stop the match.
Goddamn match.
Jesus.
Oh, this is a massacre.
Stone Cold.
Oh, no.
And the podcast is ending now.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.